Welcome to the Craig T. Owens audio blog, with Craig's blog posts in audio format to go. Craig's new book, When Sheep Bite, is available now at CraigTOwens.com.
Training for the fight. Jude doesn't pull his punches when he tells us how strenuous the spiritual battle is in which Christians have to contend. Check out the training that is required for this battle. This is the second sermon in our series called Earnestly Contend, in which we are walking through the book of Jude. If you would like to watch the video of this sermon, I've shared that link in the show notes.
Last week, we began a series looking at this short book of Jude, the second to the last book in the Bible. And we saw how Jude started off at the beginning. He said, here's what I had in mind. I wanted to write something to you. And the Holy Spirit arrested my attention and pointed me to something else. And we learned right at the beginning, in both the way that Jude introduced himself and in the way that he addresses the audience to whom he's writing, he said, I want to talk to you about how to contend for this faith that we have. But he said, but before you learn how to contend for the faith, I want you to make sure that your attitude is in the right place. And so Jude calls himself, in the opening words, he calls himself a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, a servant of Jesus, not a brother of Jesus. He could have said that. That would have been correct. But he said, I don't want the focus. If I say that, it could almost sound a little bit like I'm trying to set myself apart, like people should treat me different. People should treat me better because that was your brother. But he said, no, I'm here to serve Jesus. And then he writes to us who have been called and loved by God the Father and kept by Jesus. And he said, because we've received the mercy and the peace and the love in so much abundance, that mercy and peace and love should be what characterizes our lives as well. That's we have so much mercy from God, we have to live as merciful people. We have so much peace that we have to live as peaceful people. We have so much love that we have to live as loving people. We can't possibly keep this to ourselves. And so really right out of the gate, he sets the tone for us that we are going to be these servants of Jesus, full of mercy and peace and love. And that's how we approach this. Because then he says in verse number 3, dear friends, although I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share. So then, in other words, when he first picked up his pen, that's what he wanted to write about. Then he said, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. Now, the word that he uses here for contend means it's a strenuous thing. It's a striving after this, to contend for the faith, to strive for this. This is not something that is a casual lifestyle, just sort of passively comes my way. This is active. This is recognizing that maybe I haven't been striving as I should. I haven't been holding on as I should. And so there's a couple of times that Jesus hints at this as well in the gospel, where he tells us that this is not just a stroll down the primrose path. But when he's telling his story about the parable of the sower, and he talks about there is seed that lands on the hard soil. And that is one of the very first places that Satan wants to attack, because people are so immersed in the culture, the seed lands and it doesn't sometimes make a dent. But before it even has a chance to, the birds come along, they swoop it up. But when Jesus is explaining what that means in the spiritual context, I like what he says out of the Amplified Version in Mark's Gospel. It says it this way: the ones along the path, the seeds along the path, are those who have the word sown in their hearts. But when they hear, Satan comes at once and by force takes away the message which is sown in them. He says, hey, look somewhere else. Pay attention to someone else. Don't listen to that. Don't pay attention to that. And it's a forceful act on his part. He's not in it just like, well, whatever. If you want it, you want it. If you don't, you don't. You know, just he's going after it by force. In fact, Jesus in Matthew's gospel, he uses this language. He says, "For from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been subjected to violence, and violent people have been raiding it." There is a spiritual battle going on here that is indeed a battle. And it's not just intended for us to just kind of go, well, whatever, I could take it or leave it. And so Jude is picking up on those same words, that same thought here, when he says that I urge you to contend for the faith. Will you strive for this? Now, one of the things that we have to be aware of, though, is one of the first places we're going to have to strive is with ourselves. Because what happens is we can become so numb to the culture around us that there are places that it can begin to creep into our attitudes, to our thoughts, to our lifestyle without us realizing it. We have to strive to take hold, to keep grab of this. Now, think about it this way. Okay? I use a really simple example. If you dusted a room of your house and then closed up the door and said, "There, it's good. I never have to do anything with that room again." Does it stay clean, dust-free, cobweb-free? Okay. In order for us to keep it there, there has to be active effort on our part. And so some people, I think that I prayed a prayer, invited Jesus into my life. He forgave me of my sins. I'm good now. I don't really have to do anything else. But there is a striving to take hold of this because what's happening on the other side? Jesus told us in that parable of the sower and what he said about John the Baptist, there's a violent activity going on. And as he said here in Matthew's gospel, they're trying to raid the kingdom of heaven, if at all possible, to do that. And so there needs to be a striving for this. Now, let me show you one example. This is when God was speaking to the prophet Isaiah, he said, there's people that have really kind of let go of their hold on me. They're not clinging to me like they did before. In Isaiah chapter 64, verse 5, it says, "You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continue to sin against them, you are angry. So how then can we be saved?" In other words, what he's saying is, I got to cling to you. I got to hold on to this salvation. I don't want to let this slip away. All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. And that phrase righteous acts means really just going through the motions. My heart's not in it. I'm just going through the motions, checking off the boxes. We all shrivel up like a leaf and like the wind, our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives. That's that same idea of the strenuous effort to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins. He says, people they don't realize how strenuous this battle is, and so they're no longer striving to hold on to you. Now, on the opposite side, Paul talked about a friend of his who was a co-worker in ministry with him, and he wrote about him. His name was Epaphras. And he said, Epaphras is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus. He sends his greetings. I love this phrase. He is always wrestling in prayer for you that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I love that. Epaphras said, hey, it's not just enough that we preach the gospel and that you heard it, but now I'm wrestling in prayer. I'm going to go and hold on to the throne of God on your behalf because I want you to stand firm and I want you to be mature and I want you to grow in this. I don't want the violence of the kingdom of the devil to come in and pull you away from this. And so he said, so I'm striving to hold on to this. And like we talked about a few weeks ago, interceding for our fellow saints. That's what Epaphras was doing. I'm going to strive on your behalf. And I'm praying that you then will strengthen your grip, that you'll hold on for yourself, and that you will be interceding for others as well, that they stand mature and complete and they don't miss out on this. This is what he's saying when he says contend for the faith. And in fact, I like the way that the Message paraphrase puts it, fight with everything you have in you. This is not just a casual sit there and we'll see what happens. This is an active involvement in this. Now, this word that Jude uses here for contend, it's a unique Greek word. In all of the New Testament, there's no other place that this word is used except when Jude uses it here for contend. And it's an interesting word, and it has a lot of different facets to its definition. So I want to unpack this with you a little bit because it'll help us fill out what it is that we need to do. First of all, this word can simply mean to enter a contest. So we're just simply saying, here is the arena. I'm willing to step in there. I'm going to step in there. Now, how do I step in? What do I need to do to prepare to step in there? What kind of training do I have to have? And that's really what Jude's going to tell us here is you need to be trained for this battle before you go in there. That's why Epaphras was striving in prayer, wrestling in prayer, so people would be trained. Well, Paul captures the idea in this idea of a running match, and he's thinking along the lines of entering the arena. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? So run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, an earthly crown. Think about like even a laurel wreath that's the leaves are going to start fading right away. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, in light of that, he says, here's what, I don't run like someone who's running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer that's just beating the air. I have a goal in mind. I have a target that I want to hit. I have a prize that I want to win. And so in order to do that, I need to know what the end result is. When I step into the arena, I want to know what it is that I'm doing, and I want to be trained for it. And so that's what this word, contend, that's one of the definitions. A second definition means not just to step into a contest where maybe I'm just competing against myself because I'm running a race, but it means to contend with adversaries. Somebody is trying to prevent me from getting to the finish line. They're trying to keep me from getting there. Now, we saw Epaphras. Remember what Paul said about him? He's always wrestling in prayer for you. He's wrestling in prayer. Well, Paul uses the same kind of language when he talks about spiritual warfare in Ephesians chapter 6. And he points out to us that our struggle isn't against people. It's not against flesh and blood. It's against those rulers and authorities and powers of darkness in the world that are against us. The spiritual battle that's going on, as Jesus said in those parables and in his instruction about John, it's a violent thing that's taking place. So that means our enemy is out to get us. But listen to what Paul said about Epaphras. He is always wrestling in prayer for you. We have to be very careful that we're not fighting against people, but we're fighting for people. There's a huge difference. Now, it gets hard. When sometimes the person that is standing, the flesh and blood person that's standing in front of you, is so anti-God, and they are spewing words, and they're attacking your faith, and they're saying, this Bible that you believe, it's just an old, crusty, out-of-date book. Why are you trying to follow these things? There is no God that you have to live it like this. And you got to, when that person, a flesh and blood person in front of you, is speaking those words, it's really difficult to separate the fact, I'm not fighting against that person. I'm not wrestling against that person. I'm wrestling for that person. I want there to be a breakthrough in their heart and their mind. I want them to get to a spot where all of the earthly philosophies that they're trying leave them utterly dissatisfied. They get to a spot, yeah, I've tried all of this. All this stuff that I've been preaching, it's leaving me flat and empty. Maybe there's something else out there. That's what I'm wrestling for. I'm wrestling against the spiritual forces. I want to fight for that person, not against that person. So we got to make sure when we step into the arena, we step into the contest, and there are adversaries against us, we're not fighting against people. We're fighting for people. We're fighting against the spiritual powers that maybe these have sucked these people in and so deluded them and blinded them that they can't see the truth. That's what we're wrestling for. We're wrestling for the people, not against the people. But the third thing that this word contend means is to struggle through the difficulties. Not to say, oh man, this is too hard. This is so difficult for me. I was just sharing a few minutes ago in our board meeting, I was telling our board members how at school, I was kind of giving our administrators a hard time. I said, I don't think that you fully prepared me or told me what I was going to be dealing with this school year. And they said, well, that's because some of the stuff we're dealing with this school year, we haven't dealt with before. We couldn't have told you up front. But there, people are coming to me with these problems and they're saying, nobody else is around. Here's this problem that you got to deal with. And I want to say to them, it's above my pay grade. That's not in my portfolio. I haven't been trained for this. But instead, what I have to do is I got to pray a quick prayer. Holy Spirit, help me have the wisdom here. We're going to run into difficulties. And we don't throw in the towel. We don't say, oh, it's above my pay grade. Oh, that's a spiritual battle that I need to get the pastor to fight or somebody else. This isn't for me. No, we have to have this mentality that regardless of the difficulty, I'm pressing on, I'm going forward. Now, that example I gave you of Epaphras wrestling in prayer, that was in Colossians chapter 4. But earlier in that same letter, Paul talks about this idea of persevering through. He said, Jesus is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, to that end of presenting everybody mature in Christ, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. When we run into those difficulties, we have to remind ourselves, I can't get through this. But if I'm here, Jesus placed me here, and he, with all the energy that Christ has given me, I can contend with this. I can stand firm with this. I can go through, not in my own strength, but in the strength that he gives me. And then the fourth thing that this word means, this definition of this word, is to have the zeal, the excitement about pressing through to the victory. Not to just go, well, okay, another day, just got to get through to the end of the day. Just another day, just got to get through to the end. That's not the mentality, but hey, this is another day of breakthroughs. This is another day of winning spiritual battles. This is another day that I'm going to contend with the faith. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to intercede for somebody. Somebody's going to see the light today. Somebody's going to get a breakthrough today. Some saint that was struggling and their grip was loosening is going to re-grip again, and they're going to stand mature in their faith, and they're going to grow in that. That's the zeal every day when we go into this battle. That's what he's calling us for to this, is not to say, well, I can't even see the light at the end of the tunnel down there. It's every day I'm going to see some of the light break through here. And that's what I'm going to contend with. So this is what Paul told his friend Timothy. He said, you have to fight the good fight of faith. You got to fight for this. This isn't going to be something that is just going to be handed to you. You're going to fight for it. And then in probably what was the last letter that Paul writes, facing execution, near the end of that letter, he again writes to his friend Timothy, and he says, just like I admonished you to fight the good fight of the faith, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That's what we want to be able to say at the end of our fight too, is not, yeah, somewhere along the line, the challenges got difficult and I just sort of backed off. I was tired of fighting, and so I just said, well, I'm just going to kind of maybe quietly get through this, and maybe I won't be the target anymore. If you're serving Jesus, you're going to be the target. Satan's still coming after you, so you might as well say, I'm going after him. Both barrels. I'm hanging on to Jesus, and I'm going to fight through this. But notice what he says here. Dear friends, though I was very eager to write to you about the salvation we share. Okay, so this is still what he wants us to contend for, the salvation that we share, because then he says, I felt I had to write and urge you to contend for the faith that was once for all entrusted to the saints. So he's saying, what is it What is it? We're training for what? What is it that we're fighting for? And we're going to unpack this more as we go through this letter. But really what he's saying is we're fighting for the full package of salvation. We heard Paul say that so that people could stand fully mature. See, I think that what happens sometimes is that people, when they think of salvation, they think of it as just being saved from the penalty of their sins. I've been saved from an eternity separated from God in hell. And that's part of it. But the other part of it is that we've been saved to. We've been saved from the penalty of our sins, but we've been saved to display God's glory. We've been saved to take people into the kingdom of heaven with us. When we say that we've been saved from our sins, we're acknowledging Jesus as the Savior. But when we say we've been saved to display your glory, Jesus, and to take people into your kingdom, then we're acknowledging him as Lord. And it's not an either or, it's a both and. What we're, this salvation that we share, what it is, the faith that we're contending for is the Jesus as Savior and Lord. That's how we want people to view him. That's how we want to live our lives to do this. So in order to do this, we have to be trained first. The first contending that has to take place is inside of our own hearts. Just like I said last week, the first thing that we have to look at before we even talk about contending, as Jude set it up for us here, is we have to look at our attitude. What is my attitude about this? If my attitude is, what can I get out of this? We're going to bail real quickly when the road gets tough, when the challenges are there. But when we say, I'm here to serve Jesus, my Savior and my Lord, when I realize I've been so filled with so much mercy, peace, and love, and I'm getting that in abundance, then I can have this all-in mentality. In fact, the word here that, like I told you, it's the word for contend is only used by Jude here. The root word that for this word in Greek is agonizomai. Sounds a lot like our word for agony. Right? I am willing to go through this because of what I know is coming on the other side. Because I know that when people see me persevering through and not throwing in the towel or saying, well, I'm just going to step back and coast a little bit, when they see me pressing on, pressing through every single day, no matter the obstacles, that sends a message to people. When they say, wow, you're willing to go through that? I shared with you before that there was a guy who lived next door to the church that I went through all those problems, my first pastorate. Never really had much of an interaction with him except for us to know each other's name and say hi. But the week after I was done at that church, he came to the church where I was visiting and gave his life to Jesus and said, it was because I watched you go through this. And if you could still cling to Jesus going through what you went through, then I knew that he was worth it. People are watching our lives. And if the challenges get tough and then we go, ooh, I'm going to back off a little bit here on this, what message are we sending to them? We want our lives to be a full display. And so what Jude is telling us here is to have our attitude right, but then we need to understand first, I'm willing to contend for the faith in my own life. I'm going to strive. I'm going to hang on to this. I'm not going to give in. I'm going to step into this arena and I'm going through every obstacle through Christ's power all the way to the end. As Francis of Assisi said, preach always, and if it's necessary, then use words. Your life of contending going through this should be the sermon. And then people are going to say, hey, why are you doing this? Then you can use words. Why do you believe that? Use your words then. But let them see something in your life first. In fact, he wrote this at a different time, but Francis of Assisi wrote a prayer that I think is very appropriate, resonates with the message that Jude gives us here. Listen to what he said. Lord, make me a channel of thy peace, that where there is hatred, I may bring love. Where there is wrong, I may bring the spirit of forgiveness. Where there is discord, I may bring harmony. Where there is error, I may bring truth. Where there is doubt, I may bring faith. Where there is despair, I may bring hope. Where there are shadows, I may bring light. And where there is sadness, I may bring joy. That is the idea of contending for this and saying, it's worth it for me to go through the training in my own life to get stronger, to get more mature, to get more full of Jesus so that I can contend, I can go through. So with that in mind, let me ask you a couple of questions. You willing to be all in for this? That's what contending requires. Are you willing to wrestle in prayer for people? Not against people. You're wrestling against the spiritual forces on behalf of other people. Will you let go of earthly things that maybe have caught your attention so that you could strive to hold on to Jesus with all that you have? Will you make sure that your life is displaying this light of Jesus? And then, will you be ready, if it's necessary, to use the words when people say, why are you living like this? Why are you all in? Why are you clinging to Jesus? Why are you not giving in with all the battles that are facing you? Then you can use the words. Be ready then. But that comes after we have contended with the spiritual forces that may be holding us back from clinging to all that we have, all that Jesus has for us, being all in for his kingdom. I pray that you could go through these questions just like we did last week and ask, how's my attitude? Ask these questions and let the Holy Spirit search you to see, is this me? Does it describe me? If not, what changes do I need to make? What do I need to do so that I can contend for the faith? Lord, would you help us? You, for the sake of the joy that was going to be yours, endured the shame, the scorn of going through that horrific process. You, an innocent man, bearing the penalty for all of our sins, you were able to contend against that, to make it all the way through to the end, and now sit down at the right hand of the Father in glory. The writer of Hebrews tells us to keep our eyes fixed on you because you are the prize. We don't want any recognition here on earth. That's not what we're here for. We don't want to collect things here. We want to hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. We want the crown that never fades but lasts for all of eternity. We need to contend for the faith. We need to acknowledge you as both our Savior and as our Lord. We need to let go of any earthly things, any earthly attitudes that have crept in so that we can cling tightly to you. We can contend for this faith and our lives can be witnesses, be testimonies for you. So Lord, help us. May your Holy Spirit search our hearts as we reflect on these questions to make sure that we are ready to be all in for this. We're ready to contend and fight all the way until the day that you bring us home in victory. Help us this week, I pray. In your name, Jesus, we ask. Amen.
Craig's new book, When Sheep Bite, is available now. To order, go to craigtowens.com.